Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Roswell, New Mexico. Catch the series premiere of Roswell, New Mexico, Tuesday, January 15th, only on the CW.
It's 2:15 a.m. in Joshua Tree, California, and you're listening to Night Call.
Welcome back to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. Hello, 2019, first podcast of the year.
Starting it off. We are all back. We've been doing this podcast for about a year.
Almost. Yeah.
Almost a year.
It's going to be our birthday in February.
The longest year in history.
So we should create that wish list, not on Amazon, but on another platform of our choosing, so you can send us presents. just to go behind the curtain a little bit, it has been like a very long time since we've sat down and done a podcast.
I missed you guys.
Of the miracle of banking episodes. So thanks for all of your fun feedback, especially for our holiday specials and various Night Call Museum episodes and whatnot. Those were really fun to do. So I'm glad everybody liked them.
Me too. Hey, speaking of Night Museum and the Black Mirror episode that kind of inspired it, we are going to talk about Black Mirror's new interactive episode and Bird Box.
Bandersnatch Bird Box, which somebody made the joke on Twitter that that's the guy who plays Doctor Strange.
And someone also made the joke that both of them sound like Victorian names for female genitalia. Very true. Bandersnatch and Bird Box.
There is something very like unplaceably hilarious about the name Bird Box, and I kept like searching for a joke about it because it just sounds like a fake name.
Let's
for a
talk
movie,
about but, that because yeah. Okay, so what Emily was talking about was that there was a conspiracy, possibly true, that Netflix was seeding some fake memes about Bird Box.
Astroturfing
Bird Box memes to get the Bird Box memes going.
And they sure did get going.
They did get going.
They did. And now they're just real.
And now they're real.
And so there was an article, you know, as this sort of became a debate, but there was an article on the Daily Dot that kind of followed up with it and, like, I guess talked to people at Netflix who denied that they had been astroturfing, that said that all of the viral content was real. And the person who had originally kind of floated the idea that these were fake accounts that were at least seeding the Bird Box memes deleted their post and said, because the people who were being accused of having fake accounts were coming back and 'cause they were getting flooded with mentions and said, you know, no, I'm a real person. I'm just like, you know, I'm just new to Twitter, but I liked Bird Box, whatever, leave me alone.
Right. I just created my account 2 weeks ago specifically just to tweet Bird Box content, but how dare you?
As one does. Argument was very compelling because these were all mostly teenage looking avatars with like 15 followers who just created accounts, and everything was a Bird Box meme that then received lots and lots of retweets and likes, a suspicious number
of
retweets.
It was suspicious, to be sure.
I mean, Max Reed, my colleague at New York Mag, he had very recently published an article, I think around Christmas, on kind of the idea of fakery on the internet in general and how the
it's
real effect
fake.
Of it. Well, that everything is fake, but also that nobody accepts that anything is real anymore, so everything is de facto fake. Like, we're already at the mercy of the robots, I put that in quotes, but, like, you know, the idea that not even a person online, like, you have to verify that you're a human every step of the way to do anything on the internet anymore. The idea of being a real person on YouTube, for example, it's more probable that an entity is a bot on YouTube than an actual person.
So, like, we spend more time trying to prove that we're people than
I've also just the other way around
lost my innocence about people on the internet, like, being who they say they are.
Yeah,
I think
right
is like most people are who they say they are and are like presenting themselves somewhat accurately. But some people just are not. Some people use the internet to be scammers.
So here's like the thing that I and why I'm still skeptical about the Netflix thing, because the other thing that happened with Bird Box is just like Bird Box, the movie itself. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched it at all. It is dumb as hell. I really dislike this movie, but it's also just like boring and just kind of. It's technically not a Quiet Place ripoff, but it may as well be. Yeah. Like it, because it's like based on a book that came out before Quiet Place. Okay, blah blah blah. But it's still like it feels engineered to kind of have that effect.
It's sense horror.
Yeah. It's or like Hush or like any of these other things where it's like you can't do one thing with one of your five senses or whatever.
Right. Somebody was saying that means we're going to get to a movie where it's like, don't smell anything.
I hope
or
so.
You die.
I really hope there's a don't smell it. and it's called Don't Smell It.
There's like a Junji Ito about just like a horrible smell that like overtakes the city and ruins everything. Just so like a death stench that comes from nowhere.
That's basically the plot of Bird Box, except it's something that you can't see, but that your eyes like take in and then you want to kill yourself, which is like, okay, it's like an interesting idea, but it's just executed so unimaginatively. Anyway, it's not really the point. Like, I think that Bird Box has somehow become this kind of container for all of our various anxieties about Netflix and viral marketing and, you know, what is real and what is fake on the internet.
Well, here's the thing is like, I didn't initially question that people were like doing Bird Box memes and talking about Bird Box because they dropped it in such a dead zone.
Right.
They dropped it for Christmas. That was the whole thing was like, it's a prestige movie premiering on Netflix and you can watch it from home with your family. But
it's so
a lot of people
though.
Watched it. It is brilliant. I just was like, people will watch it because it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which it's like stay strategy. Home and watch a thing that like Netflix tells you is a blockbuster event or go out and spend, you know, $100 for your whole family to see Mary Poppins Returns or whatever. Like,
no, they did a good job. And more people, I think, probably stayed home and watched Bird Box than went to see Mary Poppins.
Well, I could also see that the argument of these things being real is that if you join Twitter and are a teenager and you have no followers, like you're going to hop on the train of the thing that is being hashtagged just to kind of gain some traction. So that kind of makes sense. And also, I mean, clearly, like the responses of like, no, I'm real teen. Like, well, okay, like robots don't do that. But it's my first, you know, thought when Emily brought this up as, you know, like an astroturfing thing. But I was like, but why? Because also Netflix, you know, Bandersnatch has been trending a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but why would they need to do that with Black Mirror? I mean, Black Mirror is talked about a lot. I don't know what
its viewership
is. It's
not that they need to do it, but I feel like this came up in the Max Read article, the idea that like all of the trending tags are just like fake and paid for the most part.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
Right, that makes sense. Like,
well, it's all just like a con game on top of a con game. Like it's just like a house of cards of like people saying, oh, that looks legit. Like I've seen so many kids talking about Bird Box, so Netflix must really know what they're doing.
Yeah,
people will agree to have their property or their work or something on Netflix, for example.
Right.
Oh, so the other thing is that Netflix, I think it was that day that all this sort of started to happen, and or maybe it was the day after, but Netflix then tweeted out something on their official account saying that. Bird Box was officially like the most watched film.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
A Netflix original release.
Ever.
It had been watched on something like 45 million accounts or something.
Don't they also not release their metrics?
They don't release their metrics, like... except every once in a while they'll be like, "This was a record breaker for us," and it's like. How are we, like, it would even be specious if it was, you know, like they released a monthly report or something, but they don't even do that. So
that
how are we
why,
supposed to believe it when it's
a
super selective thing?
That is so crazy that Black Mirror is at Netflix now.
I know.
And this episode in particular, Bandersnatch, which is like a standalone movie, interactive kind of hypertext thing, it felt like it was about Netflix. Did you also feel that way?
I did not do it. There's something so right.
You'll do it
love
someday.
Black Mirror. Yeah, I will do it eventually. But I do feel less and less like immediate gotta watch it
well,
about Black Mirror.
You should watch this in terms of it being about Netflix because it's about like a creator making something for like a shadowy company.
Yeah.
That they're just like, just take the money and make the thing.
Don't question it.
Don't
it's gonna
question
be great.
Why it's happening or like how this happens.
I love Black Mirror. So it did feel kind of like a subversive thing to me, especially, I mean, it probably wouldn't have. But then by the time I watched it, I was thinking so much about the astroturfing. Yeah. Really fucked with me.
Yeah, it fucks with you because it makes you question the nature of reality.
It's more that I just totally didn't think of it until someone else pointed it out. And then I was like, wow, I'm really still so naive about marketing.
Would you say you got red pilled?
I got, yeah, exactly.
Can we invent like a new one, like purple pilled?
I know.
Perp pilled. Stand by it.
I got perped.
I think the thing that's makes me feel like a tin hat crazy person about this stuff is that, you know, after the person who got that viral tweet about, you know, that I think these accounts are fake and brought up, like, recorded themselves going back and looking at this one person's account and seeing that they had 3 followers or whatever, and then they rescinded this. But I'm just thinking, like, okay, yeah, there are probably plenty of teens who are actually doing Bird Box memes because, like you said, like,
it's a
hot thing. So I think there are plenty of real Bird Box memes, but I do not at all. And, like, this is also from, I spent way too much time that morning looking up all these accounts and did find some where it's just like, this person joined this month. All they do is like content about
Netflix.
Yeah.
It's like you found out that, like, Tide invented the Tide Pods meme.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Right.
It's all a conspiracy by Big Tide to get Tide trending.
Well, what's kind of weird about this stuff, too, is that the companies that are making the products that I really, or the content that I really enjoy the most are also the companies with, it seems, the least ethics, you know? So it's hard because it's like, I don't need to have anyone tell me to watch Black Mirror. Last year when we started the podcast, I had like an eye problem that I've talked about.
Yes.
And the first thought I had was like, but there's Black Mirror. Like, how am I going to watch Black Mirror? So, you know, like, they're preaching
to the choir.
You watched
it with your worm eyes.
I watched it with my worm. I waited until I like could open my one eye enough. And I was like, I'm going to watch it.
So, like, yeah, okay, so there could be real people making these accounts, but I think that the seeding is, you don't have to be thinking like a conspirator to imagine that, because, I mean, people did that before. It was called astroturfing. Like, I used to make fake memes about the Housewives for my shitty job where I just made where I was like a social media manager for like a fan site for Bravo shows. Like,
there's still
I just
this
made
thing
up
of like,
jokes.
Oh, don't question just the... Oh, crazy fans of Bird Box are just making these things because they love it. How dare you question the ethics of a giant company making these things they want you to consume?
Yeah. It's like, can't we just let people have fun or something? But it's just, I mean, after a while, the argument becomes moot because there are then enough people actually doing the thing that they were led to believe was a thing to do, possibly by, you know, astroturfing or some other means, that then it just becomes... like, the phenomenon becomes real. It's no longer synthetic. But
well, that's why they do it. Clearly, it works.
Yeah. I don't know. It just makes me feel insane. Anyway.
Well, I was going to say, like, I feel like one of the things we always talked about on this podcast, even maybe many years ago, was the idea that, like, your phones are listening to you, which was totally not mainstream at the time. And, like, we had a lot of friends who, like, worked in those industries who would be like, no, they wouldn't do that. And it's like, why wouldn't they?
Right. And now we all know that they do.
And now we all know that they do, and it's, like, unquestioned.
And I still feel like I see people all the time saying, like, people who are, like, tech reporters and writers saying that this can't be real. But I'm just, it's like an Occam's razor thing. I think it was Dave Hill or something who tweeted about, I think it was talking about Alouette cheese, and then it showing up on his Instagram.
Yeah.
And, like the Occam's razor of that is not, like,
Oh,
it's
knows
a coincidence
your
of all the things.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you like cats and you like stripy socks, so therefore you'll like Alouette cheese? No, the like easiest thing to assume is that, like, yes, you have a microphone on your phone.
Right.
Because then people would have to think about not having their phones on them all the time. And everybody has just, like, within a decade normalized that.
I mean, also just the thing about Facebook reading private messages where it's like, that would never have even occurred to me, you know, that was going on. And, you know, that Facebook is like going, you guys aren't on Facebook.
Not anymore.
You guys aren't on Facebook.
But this is the thing. But the Messenger thing, when they made everybody download that for your phone and you couldn't access your messages on Facebook unless you had the Messenger app, my Spider Sense went off immediately. I never downloaded the Messages app because I was like, why are they having us do this? And I laid off of using WhatsApp too when they bought it because, I mean, I had been using that to talk to people like overseas. And then I was like, I'm not going to have substantive conversations on WhatsApp anymore. Like,
well,
it's just not going to happen.
I was on Facebook and a friend of mine posted about like a voiceover casting call for a particular model of a particular brand of car. And it was just on Facebook and I like liked it. And then I was like, oh, I still have the microphone from when we did the podcast in the garage. Like, I'll record it. I record it. I send it. I hadn't Googled the model of car. I had not like, you know, typed it out. Nothing. 5 minutes later, I got a targeted ad for the particular model of car,
right,
which
of
I had never in my life. And it's like, obviously this is going on. And then you almost feel like gaslit because you're like, I have to continue to use the service.
Because, yeah, like, remember when there's that picture of Zuckerberg where it was like his camera was taped over and it was like, yeah, because he knows.
Because he knows.
And they've all been lying the whole time being like, we don't know. Who can say?
Yeah.
But they
I honestly don't understand how anybody's. I'm sorry, Tess. I don't know how people are still on Facebook now. Like, or like,
I'm on Facebook for Night Call.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
They own Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. If you're on Instagram,
you're on
it's the same thing.
I don't know. Jonesy was talking about how we're all robots now, and somebody was like, "I'm not a robot," and he was like, "Well, what's the first thing you do when you like wake up, and what's the last thing you do at night?" And they were like, "Look at me phone."
Wasn't there something?
Look at me phone.
Look at me phone.
Have a look at me phone because I'm a robot.
Calling me birds. Me bird. Boxes.
Look, bird you boxes. Made an organic bird box meme.
See?
A master
I saw a good one today by Dan Daddario. He made an art pop bird box meme.
Oh, nice.
What?
Your bird box could be anything.
Exactly. Just like once a word. It's a funny word.
It's really.
Bandersnatch is also a funny word.
Bandersnatch wins for me. There's no way that Bandersnatch is not a pornographic slang word. There's just no way.
I Bandersnatch? Think it's just a Lewis Carrollism.
In 2019, which is where we are right now, because I almost said 2018,
that's
but it's 2019.
Right. It's not 2019.
You look at the word Bandersnatch and there's
it's
only
true.
One
true. Maybe that's why he picked it.
It takes it one step further, though, to feeling like a Black Mirror. Like so many detractors have been saying for years, and which I try to ignore, is like the Radiohead of TV shows.
Yeah. I believe I just said that. Yeah. Also. Yeah. It's, and yet, even though it's based on a thing from Alice in Wonderland and it's Alice in Wonderland themed, it's very good.
Yeah.
I enjoy
it.
Oh,
I'll try it.
Oh, I still love it.
We should do a Nathan Barley episode sometime.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only and best show about the 2000s.
This week's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. So it's a new year, and if you are trying to kickstart some 2019 health goals, Care Of may be just the thing you're looking for. You can make health and wellness a top priority with the help of Care Of's monthly subscription service, which takes a lot of the thinking and the footwork out of getting all of the nutrients that you need. When you go to takecareof.com, you can take an online quiz that is a fun way to kind of figure out what your priorities are going to be as far as the nutrients and health goals that you are looking for. It only takes about 5 minutes, and it's a really simple way to find out where you might be lacking with some nutrients and vitamins and where you can get back on track to reach your health goals. Your personalized Care Of subscription box gets sent right to your door every month with personalized daily packs, great for business and on-the-go types. And a portion of every sale goes toward the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. So you can feel good about being a Care Of member as well. Vegan and vegetarian supplement options are also available to match your dietary needs. I started getting my Care Of box last year, and it came with some things I knew I needed that were kind of my go-tos, like B vitamins and calcium. But I also kind of switched it up and tried some fish oil supplements, some iron supplements, other things that I found out from my quiz I might not be getting enough of. So it was a really, really simple way to get all of those in a really easy-to-use package. For 25% off of your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com. and enter promo code CALL, that's C-A-L-L. So one more time, that is take, careof.com with promo code CALL. Should we take our email?
Yeah, let's take a night email.
Hello, ladies of the night. First off, just wanted to say I love the pod, currently binging the archives and can't stop. A couple of things. First, a potential guest would be amazing is my friend Vice Cooler. In addition to running the Instagram Haunts of LA and taking group/friend tours of haunted ghost towns in California and the surrounding area, he's also one of my great Disneyland buddies, a wonderful wealth of haunted and Disney knowledge. By the way, that's like exactly our sweet spot.
Yeah,
so thank you for that recommendation.
Vice Cooler, come on our show. I saw him in real life the other day.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that a person that people thought was you for a while?
Oh, I think
was it LA Haunts?
No, that's Valley Haunts.
This is Haunts of LA.
We also thought Valley Haunts might be our engineer Roy's wife.
Yes.
Although she has
oh,
denied
right.
But it turns out she has the same name as
it's really
person,
weird.
A
guys.
Very specific name.
Anyway. Wait. Okay. Finishing the email. Second. I live in Joshua Tree, and although I have yet to encounter any mention of Joshua Tree on the pod, have you guys explored any of the mystery of the high des? Once you get past the LA hipster invasion, it's something of a hotbed here of mystery, UFOs, murders, crime, meth, and probably ghosts. Would love to hear more on the topic. Happy night calls. So, Molly, didn't you just go to Joshua Tree?
Yeah, I just went to Joshua Tree. I actually went to 29 Palms, which is next door.
Yes.
But I had not been to the high desert since I was a kid. When we went on family trips there. It is great. It is super weird. I totally agree. Definitely a place you might see some aliens. Mm-hmm. Also, just being able to see the night sky is crazy.
Yeah, it's very clear out there. Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes you be like, oh, we invented light pollution to stop us from looking at this because it's so overwhelming and cool.
Didn't somebody send us something else about an index of where, where like dark spots?
Yeah, dark sky.
Dark sky.
Places.
Yeah, what's it? Yeah.
It's a thing about like encouraging more places to have less lighting so that you can see the actual night sky. But again, when you do see it, you're like, it makes you feel very small in a way.
Yes.
That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the desert like has that weird overlap of hippies and preppers and alien people.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I mean, I feel like the most famous Joshua Tree thing that probably like falls in that realm is the Integratron.
Yeah.
Which I've still never actually been inside.
Me neither.
I've tried to go like so many times and,
wait,
and
what
it's,
is
it's
this?
Always booked up.
The Integratron is like an outsider art thing that mm-hmm. somebody made that is like a sound bath inside.
Mm-hmm. It's like there's no metal in the construction. It's like a dome, but it's uh-huh. all wood. So it like supposedly resonates really like I think it was tuned to the frequencies of Venus or something like that. I don't remember. But you like book, I think, like an hour, a couple hour. And you,
yeah.
Like,
is it
a
like
yoga mat.
Bent? Like how do they make without nails? Is it what? hold on. I'm
it's
stuck.
A dome. It's a dome.
Yeah. But how do they make
like a
dome?
Hippie dome?
How's it put together?
I think they did get the plans from Venus. That's
yeah.
what I'm recalling now. Yeah.
The ancient aliens.
I'm going to be going home aliens. And looking up how they built this thing.
I think
so,
but it's like a thing
you
like you get the wood wet and then you can
and
bend
then you
it.
Bend
you
it.
You kind of shape it. Yeah, yeah.
And then you kind of weave it.
It's like how you make a boat, you know.
2019 Night Call is going to be all about building your own dwellings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Whole Earth Catalog.
More domes in 2019. I enjoy hanging around the outside of the Integratron, which I've done many times because I'm like, oh, I can't go in, but I just want to like watch people hanging around.
It's called the Integratron, which should give you a clue
right,
about how we feel about it, which is pro.
People say you like get nauseous. Like some people got nauseous because the sound is so intense inside mm-hmm. of it. Because they like do bowls, like those sort of Tibetan singing bowls.
Look, it's like Bird Box with your ears.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a sound bath.
Don't listen.
Don't drown in the sound bath.
I want to know like what the chicken and egg thing, though, is about aliens and paranormal stuff and preppers and stuff and the desert.
It's the desert.
I mean, I think that the solitude certainly helps and like having
it's
an
the
ability.
Desert of the real.
So I can't go to the desert. We've talked about this before on the pod.
Yeah,
I'm like terrified of the desert. I had to go to the desert. I went to Indian Wells, which is pretty close to Joshua Tree.
Yes.
And
do some golfing.
It was like a multi-family thing that I could not talk my way out of despite really trying to talk my way out of it. It was in...
The broad expanse.
It was, I think, in late June, it was 120 degrees.
Ah.
So FYI, it was like a record-breaking summer heat wave thing. And then I put my hand on the car window as we were driving through, you know, basically like approaching Palm Springs. It was too hot to touch. And then we got there and we stayed. There are all of these like weird kind of like affordable resorty type things with like multiple pools and water slides and stuff.
Yeah. Palm Springs, I like understand the appeal of it, but it is not for me at
it's
all.
It's just odd.
Because I'm not like a sun person. Mm-hmm. So like
I like Palm Springs
of like bake
a lot.
All day in the sun.
No, I can't
in the hot,
do it.
Hot sun. Because I feel
you
like
you don't
I,
though.
No,
you stay
I,
inside.
Right,
I think.
But like what's the fun
why
in
would
that?
You stay,
why would I go
why
somewhere?
Why are you staying inside?
Because then you go outside at night and it's still warm and the stars, you can see all the stars and you can like walk around in a bathing suit at night and like get dry in 2 seconds out of getting out of a pool.
Okay,
it's,
but
it's great.
When we went, I was like, okay, it'll cool off at night and then I'll go walk around, because all day I was like, I am
right.
not going out. I did, but
then
I'd be like
100 degrees at night.
It was 112 at 10:30 p.m. I took like a shot of my weather app because I was like, I cannot believe this. And I went outside and was just like sitting there sweating and it was like so dark. But I was like, I see why people do this, but I'm just afraid
just
of like my own dark mental spaces.
Being hot is not what I want generally.
Yeah.
The winter desert, I will say, was amazing.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, you went in like hot springs and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. My friend picked a place with a hot spring. And then we passed a place that was called Old Woman Hot Springs Road.
Ha!
That I looked
I
up.
I think I'm familiar with Old Woman
well,
Hot Springs
total
Road.
Total
yeah.
potential night call commune.
Yeah.
It was like a resort. Somebody bought it and turned it into a resort, but it like hasn't been open since the 80s or something. Owns it. It's just like a weird abandoned hot springs resort.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you went? You went to Old Woman
No, we
hot
went
springs?
To, we just passed by. You can't go there unless it's like on a special tour because it's
oh,
not
weird.
Open to the public. Which again, I think there's like abandoned things in the deserts. There's military
right.
bases
yeah,
as part of what
bases.
Adds to the UFO stuff and the weirdness.
I think that's the real core of the weirdness is the abandoned military bases.
Mm. Right. Well, another interesting thing about Joshua Tree, I think like even more so than the Palm Desert is the amount of kind of like uncool resorts and places to go there are. Like there are so many ads for just like seniors only.
Well,
resorts
seniors.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like not even the kitschy cool kind. It's like kind of like the Poconos or something out here.
It
like,
is
it's
like
just
the
sort
Poconos.
Of like, it also reminds me of Three Women, the Altman
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
It's totally that vibe. Where
well,
you're
I
like,
was
oh,
saying
yeah.
too, like people moving to the desert is like the moving upstate. In New York,
right,
like Los
right,
Angeles.
Exactly.
You
yes,
know, when
yeah.
people are like, "I got to get out of here. I'm moving to the desert." But I was tweeting about moving to the desert, and then a friend of the pod, Alana Mae Johnson, informed me it will be uninhabitable soon
because of global warming.
Because of global
well,
climate change.
When it was 120, I was like, "At what point are people going to be going for vacations in the desert, and then they're just going to die?"
Well, people do die in the desert,
yeah.
which is another reason why it's scary. Like Death Valley is legitimately like
it's called
Death
Valley,
right?
My parents and my aunt and uncle once went on a hike there where they like got lost and then told me about it like weeks later, like, oh yeah, we totally got lost and
in
didn't
Death
know where
Valley.
We were and it was so hot. Ha ha, glad we were alive. And I was like, don't do that.
Yeah. Like, no, guys. I'd be really interested though in hearing if there are more night callers who live in the desert.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such mm-hmm. a divide. Like if I were in my home in the desert, I don't think it would have the same effect. I think it's leaving the place where you live and then going to a
somewhere.
Place that feels inhospitable and having that, you know, for me it feels inhospitable, not for everybody. Some people love the desert obviously, but like I'm very interested in what the like vibe as a resident is.
Mm, well, that I think is a whole other thing, cuz you know, yeah. it definitely is a mm-hmm. tourism place for like mm-hmm. LA people, but yeah, townies and lifers there, I'm sure, have different opinions.
I stayed at my friend's grandfather's house. He lived in Palm Springs, and he was, at the time, like, in his late 80s. And that was some, like, I just got a real good peek into that.
Right. Well, that's also, like, when you go somewhere and you stay in, like, a real place versus going on, like, a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, when you go somewhere and you're like, oh, this is what it would be like to live in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give us your calls about the high desert, the low desert, the in-betweeny desert.
The food desert. The food. Any desert at all.
And dessert.
Yeah.
The food dessert.
The food dessert. I would actually really welcome more food dessert calls. I was looking. There was a peppermint hi-hat cake. I'm sorry. I digress, guys. There was a peppermint hi-hat cake on Instagram that looked
like
the best.
What is a peppermint hi-hat peppermint cake?
You say that like it's a thing that we are all familiar with.
No, I was baiting you for you to ask me that question. It is a chocolate cake, and then the frosting is, which, and I don't really like frosting that much, but there is like twice as much frosting as cake, but the frosting is marshmallow, so it's like puffy, and then you coat the whole thing in milk chocolate.
So it's like
I've been thinking about this cake for 2 weeks.
It's like a giant, like, mallow.
It's a giant Malamar-looking thing, but I don't care for the, like, base of the Malamar.
It's like a snowball cake.
Yeah, it's like a snowball cake. It looked really good. Whoa. If you want to look up the peppermint hi-hat cake, I'm sure you'll find the exact one that I was talking about.
Yeah, tell us about regional cakes. It's something we always enjoy.
Because as we all know, Boston cream pie is the, not a pie, but it's a cake, but it's so good, and it's the best.
What is a Boston cream pie? I don't know. No.
It is two layers of vanilla cake with vanilla custard in between, covered with chocolate ganache, and it's the best dessert.
Huh.
There's
Emily,
no other dessert.
Did you know this? Did you
know
what?
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows what a Boston cream pie is.
It's like one of the most basic, like deli case pie type things.
It's so good.
I can't think about it.
It's usually
without...
right next to the coconut cream pie.
Hey, what's up? I'm a longtime listener, first time caller. I was curious, what is the chili industry like in and around Roswell? And do aliens prefer red or green chili, or do they go for Christmas? Thanks.
Wow, that call came from Dalton, a.k.a. Sushi Jesus.
Ooh.
Thanks, Dalton.
Interesting food for thought.
So we're in the middle of our conversation about the desert / high desert. We, of course, must discuss the desert when it comes to aliens and the paranormal, New Mexico and Roswell specifically. Have you guys been to Roswell before, ever?
Never.
No, but...
I've been to Truth or Consequences.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
A great
I've been
town.
To Santa Fe and Albuquerque, but yeah. I haven't been to... And I spent, like, a few days in Santa Fe, and I loved it. And it had a lot of that kind of vibe also of, like, I don't know. I think I got... Did I get you guys alien hot sauce from Santa Fe? I just remember, like, a lot of hot sauces, a lot of green and red chilies. I think it was green at the time were the ones that were everywhere, and a lot of alien memorabilia, and I really liked the combination of all of those things.
Spicy aliens.
I would totally do a tour stop of Night Call in Santa Fe because I loved it.
Yeah, I went there a couple summers ago and also had a great time.
Didn't it rain while you were there?
It rained while I was at like an ancient Pueblo site, and that was like the
perfect.
Most spiritual experience.
Molly sold
of my life.
Me on it because she was like, see, it's raining. It's raining in New Mexico. Yeah. You wouldn't
Did you like
it.
Put your arms out like in Jesus pose and open your mouth and be bathed by nature?
We went to like an ancient place. You know, I mean, that's also mm-hmm. it is you're like, there's ancient stuff here. There's like extremely like pre-European culture colonizing stuff here, just everywhere. And it's, you know, federal land, so you can go there, and it's beautiful. There was, like, we looked over the Rio Grande, and there was, like, a crazy storm came in, and just, just nature is amazing. It makes you feel very, again, very small in a way where you're, like, something is in charge.
And that also makes you think of aliens.
Right, because you're like, you're just like, other things are happening all the time that have nothing to do with me.
Right.
Which I love.
So they're bringing back, I mean, bringing back in quotes, Roswell on the CW. Now it's called Roswell, New Mexico. But I think we all remember the WB show from the late 90s that was just called Roswell. And it feels like the nostalgia wheel is turning and we're back to being into aliens in the same way that we were in the 90s. But now it kind of can take on a different shape. And
well, after vampires comes aliens. Everybody
knows. Right. Totally.
Such are the seasons.
Where do zombies fit?
Zombies are
winter. Well, it's harder
to
fall in love with zombies. I mean, there are a couple of like zombie teen romance movies that are kind of jokey, but I think in general, there's more longevity to like the idea of falling into, falling in love with an alien or falling in love with
a werewolf or a vampire.
Yeah.
The werewolf thing never really, well, I guess teen wolf.
Yeah. Puberty.
I'll open myself up.
Zombies are like their bodies are falling apart.
You know, some people are into that, Molly.
That would be good, like sugar daddy.
In the end, all of our bodies fall apart. Yes.
A sugar daddy zombie love
sugar
story.
Sugar zombie.
Amazing.
The CW's Roswell, New Mexico is interesting. It's more of a reimagining of, you know, it's kind of closer to the book and not really, it's not a reboot.
Yeah.
So what's really interesting about it is that it kind of places the story, which is about Liz Orteco. She's a scientist and she ends up coming home to Roswell, New Mexico, following the death of her sister, which is, you know, there's more on that to follow. And then she ends up reconnecting with her friend from high school, Max. And something's off about Max, guys. Doesn't take us long to figure out that Max.
And his siblings.
Max's family is not earthly.
Not of
particular,
this world,
not of this world.
Yeah, and it's based on this book series called Roswell High School.
Or Roswell High.
Sorry. Yeah. But the new one is definitely more faithful in some ways to the original books than the WB show was, specifically like more with the characters and just kind of the overall.
You read some of the books also, right?
I didn't read the books.
Or you were reading about the books and you.
No, I was reading about. Yeah.
You discovered that in the original books, the character of Liz was Latina, and that they whitewashed it for the original show.
Yeah. So that was I was in the current Roswell, New Mexico, the new show. Also, slight spoiler alert, but I think it definitely deals with the idea of aliens and extraterrestrials in a more kind of topical, political way. And, you know, also being set in New Mexico, somewhat near a border, you can kind of see how that stuff might all come into play. And In the original books, Liz had been Latina, and now she's Latina again. That's definitely her love interest is now a cop. So, you know, there's like a lot of stuff that you can kind of play with as far as thinking about like what aliens might mean to audiences, especially like teen audiences or like young adult audiences today. Like what kind of import or meaning you kind of assign to that.
Yeah. Also, shout out to the fake conspiracy podcast on that show, which was a highlight for me, because I think that that's like the other interesting thing about the desert. We've talked so much about like coast to coast is when you're thinking about aliens a lot, which, you know, sometimes we are, sometimes not. But it's like the way that kind of like curiosity and wonder turns into paranoia is an interesting descent, I think, to think about. Mm-hmm. And especially, that's, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And especially in the context of, like, you know, imagining what it's like to be in the kind of community that's, like, you know, dealing with paranoia, earth-based paranoia and supernatural paranoia. But I was really happy that was included because that's too close to life, man. So good to throw it in.
There always needs to be a guy with headphones and a microphone.
That's us. We're that guy.
We're that guy.
We're the chaotic good.
Shout out to Quartzly for featuring us on the list.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
And saying that we were back and weirder than ever.
Best compliment.
It's like, it's true. We are weirder than ever.
I know. But the world is weirder than ever.
It's true. We are the lone gunmen.
Uh-huh.
The lone gun people.
Yeah, exactly. What I think what's like really, one of the things that's really great about the CW's version of this is that it's very timely. And I kind of think it's like more interesting to see these characters as adults and to, you know, have like this history of this person who has been living in Roswell and is an alien, but it's kind of like a revelation as an adult. But he's known, you know, Liz for a long, long time. So it's like he's been keeping this secret.
It kind of has a little more gravity of them being adults.
Yeah.
And there's sort of more that the story can do with them being adults, and especially exactly. with Liz being like a practicing scientific genius. You know, that yes. definitely, I mean, I was watching the original show and like, you know, the most they can do is like study some cells in their science lab class. But, you know, when you have adult characters and like there's also a doctor that she also knows from high school who's mm-hmm. sort of like trying to investigate the aliens, and there's kind of more possibilities for the show. And of course, everybody's very good looking because it's a CW show. So there's that.
But it's also interesting. I mean, there's the like, you know, it's not subtle, but it doesn't really have to be that, you know, that Liz is the child of undocumented immigrants and she comes in, like it kind of opens up where she's stopped yeah. at the border and questioned. And
yeah, the
you know.
First scene is like an ICE detention scene, which is like it really shows you where the show is going to go from the get go.
And I cool. liked that they were kind of just so upfront about it, because I felt as though, you know, rather than kind of like stringing you along and having it, you know, it's just to like put it out there and have it be like this crisis that also is very, you know, true and relatable right now.
Right. And I like that it's that. Like, it's not just a metaphor.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have yeah. the people who are like the conspiracy theorists, but are also like the aliens, in quotes, are going to yeah. take our jobs.
Right. Which it is like literally what together. The podcast right. guy says. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, it's super interesting. And I really definitely I find it really weird that the, you know, previous show whitewashed Liz when like, why would
you
do
like
that?
No, it's like the present catching up with the original.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much more you can talk about then. Like, you know, the stuff that her family is going through mirrors what the aliens are going through. It's just mm-hmm. like, it makes so much sense. And that was all originally from the book. So I'm glad that they brought that stuff back. Because
I also love when people, you know, take a show of, you know, doing something like kind of bringing in like the like really most horrible things that we're dealing with right now and to just kind of talk about them. It's nice.
And like riff on them, and especially yeah. with genre stuff. I mean, I think that we like at Nightcall, we love sci-fi and Twilight Zones type stuff because it's a way to talk about serious things, you know, kind of in a more flexible and kind of fun way and,
yeah.
you know, really blow out some ideas. And there's definitely that feeling to it. Like, I mean, it's obviously it's like a primetime soap on the CW and it has, you know, all of the fun of that. But also is, you know, addressing a lot of actual contemporary issues in not a preachy way and like kind of a fun genre-y way. So
yes, exactly.
Cool. It pairs yeah. well with Riverdale.
It does. It pairs super
totally,
well with Riverdale.
Yeah. But yeah, what did you guys have any favorite alien or paranormal related things that you were into in the 90s when it was all the rage?
I mean, I loved Independence Day.
Yes, I loved Independence Day also.
I very much identified with like the stripper who just goes to the roof with her friend from the strip club who just goes yeah. to the roof to stand on the roof with the other people in LA and be like, yay, aliens, and then they all get zapped.
Yeah, yeah.
I think right now, especially, like people would love for the aliens to come because things are bad on Earth and it would like make sense in a way.
I mean, I don't know why anyone would visit Earth now. Like, but it just seems like, why now? Like, you had all this time when things were going pretty well.
But if the aliens came now, wouldn't you be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I'd sure. wonder.
That's kind of why I liked Arrival so much. It felt like an interesting, like, different angle on why aliens might come here, that they could be benevolent or like just sort of, you know, truly altruistic beings that don't think with their egos the way that human beings do, so we can't even like necessarily analyze their
yeah I like anything
their
that's like
that way.
The aliens might come, but like we won't even, we can't comprehend.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, we were also talking about, because there was an article in Life Science about how the Drake Equation, which SETI people search for extraterrestrial intelligence. If you don't know, now you know. that's sort of been the equation, the kind of like philosophical way of thinking about the odds of alien life being some, and the odds not only of there being an intelligent civilization somewhere in the universe, but also the odds of us coming in contact with it. And I think like nobody knows what the actual, you know, number or sum of the Drake Equation is, but it's obviously like meant to kind of communicate the fact that the chances are slim. So I think like the idea of an alien coming to Earth and or interacting with high schoolers and or falling in love with people is like such a kind. It's almost like a religious experience because it feels so like the odds are so small or something, or it takes so much faith to even like idealize something like that.
I read this article in Live Science was by an astrophysicist named Paul Sutter, and I thought it kind of breaks your brain, the Drake equation. He was basically saying that it's useless because you can figure out the, you know, percent chance of all of these different variables, like is there life in the galaxy, on what planet, like will it be intelligent life, but if you're missing any category, like if you don't have, you know, any kind of idea of whether something's possible in one category, then it nullifies the entire result, basically, because there are so many variables. So I think what's, like, interesting about the idea of, you know, kind of imagining what would happen if aliens came to Earth is that it's either probable. It's like you have no, there's no way of figuring out if it's probable, improbable, or what it would look like, no matter how much you know about it, until you figure it out. So you can take, you know, you can have something like Arrival, where, and that's to me like seems the most likely, but like also in some ways the least fun, because there's because, you know,
you don't get to have adventures with the aliens.
Yeah,
they just come and solve, they solve world peace for you.
Gonna be a little weird spore in a rock.
Yeah, the spores. Yeah. I mean, it's fun to think about in a way, but then it's hard to really make a storyline out of that.
Oh, I mean, I like all the storylines where they're just like the humans are exterminated immediately, and then it's just like what happens after that
when there are no humans left.
Yeah, that's how I think about it. I'm like, we shouldn't get to go to other planets, and like the that way we'll leave a decent planet if anyone else finds it later.
I think it's too late, man.
But I feel like that's what humans think, and then we'll be gone and it'll go back to nature so fast.
Right. But I think one of the things that's fun about the new Roswell, New Mexico, is that it's the idea that like there's a person who's an alien. I like that idea because I have a family friend who, you know, he's never heard of like all of these things that everyone's like, he's, there's just a little slight difference. And it's a fun game after he leaves to be like, is he an alien? Is he? And like reasonable people, you can kind of keep the conversation rolling because it's like, but that it, there's
no explanation.
Look at
how long Mork and Mindy kept up that
facade.
That's
what I'm saying. Mork and Mindy was, honestly, I don't think I could rewatch Mork and Mindy, but at the time,
well,
I was like, it seems like a totally
realistic
show.
I talked about this once on Twitter with Emily Nussbaum, who was also apparently a Mork and Mindy super fan.
It was really good.
To the extent that she wore rainbow suspenders to school to
be
like Mork.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was just like, because Mork and Mindy was a Happy Days spinoff. I feel like I've talked about this before. And I was just like, isn't that weird that it was a Happy Days spinoff? And also that the idea of the show about just a woman with an alien boyfriend was so popular for so long. But now it just makes sense.
It's just so interesting to see what people, like, what you kind of superimpose the idea of aliens onto in different times. Like, I feel like the idea of having an alien boyfriend feels very 70s just because of, like, I don't know, David Bowie or something. Like, who wouldn't want an alien boyfriend?
Well, it's also some... like if you're a girl, a misunderstood girl, you're
right,
like, who would be my boyfriend?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
From another world.
And that's totally what I think the 90s Roswell felt like it, to me at least. And I was kind of going back and watching some old episodes. And it's very much about being weird or being an outsider and you know, having a secret and stuff like that.
Wait, can we answer the red or green chili question?
Yeah, we got to answer that.
What do you guys think? Do aliens like red chili or green chili, or do they prefer both, which is known as Christmas style?
Oh, I like Christmas style. I'm going to go with green chili. I'm going to go in particular with the Hatch chili. I think I've expressed my opinions on Hatch chilies before because they pop up at this one grocery store in Los Angeles. They feature them for like 3 months and they just stink. So like I like chilies, but you can overdo a chili. And I was like, these don't belong here. Nobody buys them. I've never seen anyone buy them. Because they, like, it's too much. You go into the grocery store and everything has chilies in it, and it just seems, like, weird because there's no real reason for it. Never seen anyone buy these chilies from this grocery store. It's just, you don't want to.
So you think the aliens are going to come and buy them all?
I think it's an alien plant. I think it's to entice the aliens. It's a magnet for the aliens to go to
Gelson's
Market.
And that's why it has a specific smell, is because it's
that. See, I was going to say Green Hatch chilies, because who doesn't like Green Hatch chilies? But
wow.
I guess
this is where this diversity of opinions
exactly.
on chilies. I personally prefer green chili, but I'm going to go Christmas style because it's the best.
Whoa, hot take.
I think the aliens, well, you know, a little of everything is always the best. Wouldn't the aliens like to experience all we have to offer?
I don't know.
It's
man.
Hard to imagine a green or a gray, rather a gray, being into chilies in general and spicy things in general.
Really? But, what do you think they eat?
Like Soylent? I don't know.
No way. I think they search the galaxy for the spiciest.
For Tasty Flavs?
The spiciest bites.
I think they eat corn.
What if the aliens come and they're like, oh, we're here to do our diners drives.
And
like
diners, dive-ins, and drive-ins and dives.
Tess, are you suggesting also that there might be, like, the entire corn conspiracy might be to feed the aliens when they
100%
come?
100% I'm suggesting that.
Okay, I'm back on corn again. I love okay. corn. Anyway. but yes, so Roswell, New Mexico will be premiering January 15th on the CW, Tuesday at 9, 8 central.
This was a great episode, guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Also, Tess is wearing one of our own merch shirts
right now.
Oh, good.
I didn't have time to really like get ready, and I was like, I may as well represent. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Night Call. If you have questions, comments, want advice, have a favorite dessert, have ever been to Roswell, New Mexico, and want to share a story about encountering alien life, please give us a night call at 240-46-NIGHT or a night email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to celebrate our birthday in February, please come out to Gold Diggers, a bar in Los Angeles that Molly and I DJed with DJ Ghost DJ Emily.
Which we all love.
Yeah. Gold Diggers is an awesome bar. Last time we brought a pumpkin pie and ate it all.
Maybe this time we'll bring a Boston cream pie.
We will. Maybe. Emily will be there, though, more excitingly.
I'll be there. And I'll be debuting my new actual DJ name.
Yes.
So
and
ooh, I'm excited.
And some amazing vinyl from Japan.
Yes. It's
oh, yeah.
February
I'm bringing
5th.
Vinyl. I'm kidding.
February 5th. February 5th, the evening. So come out, support Night Call. We'll probably have some shirts to sell. And we'll be very happy to see you.
Yay.
See you next week,
everybody.
Jinx.
This week's Night Call is brought to you by Roswell, New Mexico. Catch the all-new series Roswell, New Mexico, Tuesday at 9, 8 central, only on the CW or anytime on the free CW app.